Packers fans, welcome to Railbird Central at Cheesehead TV. I'm your host, Brian Caravu. Joined this morning by our live blog director, Jamie Snowden. We're talking some Packers football. We got plenty to talk about. And as part of our continuing series featuring the writers at allgreenbaypackers.com, we have joining us on the phone this morning, Chris Burke. Chris, how you doing today?
Fantastic. Training camp's only about 2 weeks away. The long off season that causes many of us to bang our heads into the wall is finally about over. So it's just about go time, so I'm excited.
Very good. Now, for those of you who don't follow you on Twitter, maybe don't know you, Chris, just tell us a little about yourself. And, you know, as I follow you on Twitter, I saw you accepted a new job. What's all this about?
Well, I'm Wisconsin resident, born and raised, lived here my entire life. However, in 2 weeks, I will be leaving for the state of Minnesota. I am not going, however, to the Vikings. No Vikings block has offered me a job or tried to offer me a job as of yet. But I did take a promotion within my current company. Unfortunately, it does lead to me leaving the state of Wisconsin. I won't be too far over the border, and I'll be on our south of the Twin Cities, but I am moving to enemy territory in a couple of weeks.
Go ahead.
The money, I hate to say it like this, the money was good, and, I'm young now, single, the time is right now to make the move.
Well, I wish you all the best. Are you going to party hard at least the night before you leave?
That's the plan, yes. Go out in Wisconsin style, yes.
Very good. Well, talking about a little bit of football here this morning, Chris. Matthew Stafford just signed a contract extension yesterday. At least that is the report from ESPN. Many other outlets reported the same thing. What conclusions do you draw from this deal signed by Matthew Stafford in that it's very similar in amount of money to what Aaron Rodgers just recently signed? But, of course, Aaron Rodgers is entering his ninth year in the NFL, but Stafford just his fifth.
What boggles me more than anything is, aside from Stafford's youth, is the fact that he's only had really two or so healthy years. I mean, the start of his career was so injury-riddled that I thought, maybe wait a little depending on my, don't get me wrong, I think Stafford's got the potential to be a great quarterback. Him to be a very good quarterback receiver. The problem is, A, that team's got some maturity, particularly on the other side of the ball, and not to mention their head, which can lose camp as well. That's back. They don't, as much as a lot of Packer fans can't stand the Detroit, Matthew Stafford is not usually one of the problems. It's usually, like I said, it's on the other side of the ball. But I think they overpaid him a little bit, obviously, because of the injury history, and he's only been in the league for so long, and Kellen Johnson's going to need another contractor at some point, and I don't know how much they're going to be able to give him, if they're going to hold Stafford up to that, that also depends on the salary.
Yep.
That stunned me a little bit with how much they were willing to pay him. It actually was to Aaron Rodgers. Stafford's been to the playoffs once. Rodgers has been to the playoffs multiple times. He's also won a Super Bowl and a league MVP. That's an doing house trying to do to Green Bay. Like the Kings have been doing with seeming to take up Washington, but I don't know. I think they overpaid him, but I guess we'll have to see what happens.
Chris, you're breaking in and up for me here. Can I just call you back and see if we get a better connection here?
That's fine. Verizon's been having some issues where I live anyway, so that would be fine.
Let me just hang up on you, quick call you back. I'll see if I'll get a better connection.
Sure.
1 second. Get Chris back on the phone right now here.
All right, we're going to give this a shot. How does that sound?
You sound good right now. I hope it stays that way. But, just kind of continuing our conversation here with Chris Burke of AllGreenBayPackers.com. You know, one thing I noticed here, Chris, as well with this deal by Matthew Stafford is that both Stafford and Rodgers, these extensions came with 2 years left on their deals before they were to expire. Does that sound about right for football players at football's most important position? And I think we've lost Chris again.
I'm still here.
You're breaking up on me, Chris. I can barely hear you.
Let me try moving toward the window.
We'll try that. I can barely hear you, Chris. I apologize. I'm afraid I'm going to have to let you go. I don't want to, but as it stands, this is not making for a good podcast right now.
I don't know. We've been having cellular issues, so I don't know what's going on with this. So,
well, you're coming in good right now. I don't know if it's going to stay that way or go bad again, but let's give it one last shot here. Why don't you tell me once again about the 2 years left on these deals, and we'll see how you do and if you break up here.
All right, it's no different than like a coach situation. You know, you don't want the quarterback's one of the two leaders of your team, the quarterback and the head coach. You know, going into that final year, there's that quote unquote lame duck status, and they really don't. You know, that can lead to a lot of things. Are they going to be back? Is this the only year they're going to be with them? That can lead to a lot of questions in a lot of other teams' minds, in particular a team with behavior issues like the Lions. So that's why I think they're going that way. And you know, I don't think there was any doubt Rodgers was going to leave, you know, obviously, but you know, someone like Stafford, you know, you never know. So that's probably why I think they're doing it the way they did.
Chris, you're coming in good right now, so that's a good thing. Let's continue our conversation here. Another recent contract signed in the NFL was by New York Giants wide receiver Victor Cruz, which some have speculated will set the stage for a future contract signed by the Packers' own slot receiver Randall Cobb. Now, what do you think, Chris? Is Cobb going to command one of the top contracts in the NFL for a slot receiver when it's his turn to get a payday?
We'll have to see. You know, Cobb's had that great year last year, but he's going to need to do it consistently, and he's going to have to come up big in the playoffs. You know, that's where Jennings, you know, came in. You know, yes, they only won that one Super Bowl, but that's where Cobb's going to have to earn his money. Is he's going to have to make big plays in the playoffs. He's going to have consistency. You know, Jordy Nelson, yeah, he had some injury issues, but he kind of dropped off a little bit. So we need to start seeing consistency, and somebody's going to have to emerge from that group to be an elite number one. And I think we all think it'll probably be Cobb. You know, Jordy Nelson may be a 2 or a 1A, but he's someone that, you know, I'm really looking forward to seeing. I think that could be, he's got great potential. He is very, very versatile. So that's, you know, that's something I'm looking forward to seeing is how he does. But he's going to have to be more consistent. He's going to have to stay healthy, obviously. You know, if they're going to run him out of the backfield, you know, that's, you know, there's risk there. Or if he's even going to be returning kicks, which I don't think they want to have him do, but you never know.
Yeah, a lot of talk this offseason about Cobb potentially grabbing as many as 100 passes this season. Like you say, we'll see if that's going to turn out or not. We're trying to get ahead of the curve here for a second because Packers first-round draft choice Dayton Jones should be signing a contract of his own very soon, at least before the start of training camp. But I want to know, what do you expect out of Jones in his rookie season in the NFL, Chris?
Well, a lot of people are looking as the replacement, you know, 2000 punch up down the season. They lost Nick Collins and a few defense.
Chris, you're breaking up on me again. I apologize. You were coming in good for a while, but yeah. I just got to cut you off here. And really, I'm sorry, but we'll try to do this some other time, perhaps.
That may not be a bad idea, Brian. We've been having cellular issues quite a bit here. So,
Chris, I thank you so much for joining us and attempting to join us this morning. I do appreciate it, and I apologize. Chris Burke of AllGreenBayPackers.com attempting to join us this morning. We're just hampered by cell phone issues here. I apologize to our listeners for the connection issues, obviously outside our control, but we'll continue the discussion here regardless concerning Dayton Jones and other contracts in the NFL and how they relate to the Green Bay Packers. And it really is. I'm glad to be doing this, and maybe we can connect with Chris another time. But, you know, it is a lot of fun here to talk to the writers at allgreenbaypackers.com, and we'll be continuing that series on Friday as well with another member. And we got to get to the head man himself, Jersey Al Bracco, eventually here in the next coming days. So stay tuned for that. But yeah, so, you know, but before I let Chris go, we're kind of talking about getting ahead of the curve here. There was all these news of these signings lately. Matthew Stafford of the Lions, Victor Cruz of the New York Giants just making headlines recently because they're signing extensions. And getting ahead of the curve, Dayton Jones is going to be signing one of his own here very soon, you know. Rookies really don't hold out in the NFL anymore, and I don't expect Dayton Jones to do so either. You know, he should be signing his own contract before the start of training camp, and some people might be getting a little bit worried just because it is so close to training camp now, and they're worried he might hold out. And I'm going to tell everybody, don't worry. He'll sign it. In fact, they might even wait so much as waiting until he gets into town, Green Bay. You know, I'm sure he's back home. I think he went to college in UCLA. I think he is a California native. He's probably back home. In fact, there was just that report last week that he's out in California doing MMA training with Jay Glazer out there. But the Packers might even wait till he arrives back in Green Bay for the start of training camp to sign this contract. So, you know, don't be alarmed. Don't worry if this thing happens the day before camp or the day of camp. You know, it'll get done. It's just a matter of them coming to a common ground. Rookie contracts are basically laid out for them. The only sticking point is really in the guaranteed money. How much money and for how many years are you going to guarantee Dayton Jones' contract, you know, is what it comes down to. So, but I think it's going to happen. But, you know, moreover, I asked Chris here, what do you expect out of Jones this season? You know, I don't know if he's going to technically be a starter, and we kind of touched on this the last episode of Railbird Central. It kind of depends upon, is he going to be a three-down player or not? And if Dayton Jones is not a three-down player in his rookie year, I'm not going to be alarmed. I expect him to play a role. I expect him to make some sort of impact. But if he doesn't play on first, second, and third down, you know, no big deal. The defensive line is a position now in the NFL that's rotated out quite a bit. The Packers, frequently they start games in their 3-4 defense. So, you know, last year you would see one of their starters was frequently C.J. Wilson, just because he would line up next to B.J. Raji and Ryan Pickett in that 3-4. But as you saw, as the games went on, you know, it wasn't so often that the Packers were in their 3-4 defense. They ran their nickel more often than not with only two defensive linemen on the field. And I think that's where you're going to see Dayton Jones make his biggest impact in his rookie year, I think, in that nickel package. And I could be wrong, certainly. But, I think he's going to be relied upon as a pass rusher. I really think they were hoping last year that Jarrell Worthy would be that guy. You know, they took him in the second round last year. Well, Jarrell Worthy probably out for the year, not guaranteed yet. But, they're not going to be relying upon him to, provide anything this year. So they had to go out and take Dayton Jones. I think they're going to be looking to him to be the pass rusher, the guy who's going to take maybe a little bit of pressure off Clay Matthews. And you know, hopefully more than one person does it. Hopefully Dayton Jones does it, and Nick Perry does it, and B.J. Raji does it. You know, hopefully he's got a lot of, help elsewhere on the defense to take some pressure off Clay Matthews. But, you know, what do I expect out of Dayton Jones? I think if you're getting... he's a part-time player. That's fine in his rookie year. I think he's only going to get more playing time as time goes on and he gets older and he gets better. But if he's a part-time player and, you know, he gets 4 or 5 sacks in his rookie year, but more than that, provides some consistent pressure and just holds his own in the run game. I think that's all you can ask for from a rookie like that. And, you know, maybe we get better as time goes on. He gets better. He gets stronger. He just understands the game better. And maybe, you know, a year from now, 2 years from now, we're talking about Dayton Jones as a Pro Bowl type player. But I think expectations do have to be somewhat modest for a rookie, any rookie, regardless of when they're drafted, first round, second round, late rounds, you name it. It does no good to expect a guy to be a Pro Bowler in his rookie season. It's rare when that happens. It's rare when a rookie is named to the Pro Bowl or All Pro in their first year. Does it happen occasionally? Yeah, sure. There'll be one or two rookies in the entire NFL this year named to the All Pro team. That's the exception to the rule, not the rule itself. So, you know, I hope he's the best rookie defensive lineman there is in the NFL. There's reason to think he might, because he's lined up well to see significant playing time in his first year. That's for sure. The Packers could certainly use his help. But that's going to be one of the most exciting things to track in training camp this year, is going to be the progress Dayton Jones makes in seeing him come out to practice on a day-by-day basis and seeing how he does, how he improves from practice to practice. But, talking about other contracts in the NFL here, and we had tried to talk to Chris Burke a little bit about this earlier before our phone issues had gotten, a little bit too too bad for us to continue our conversation. But we were talking about the recent deal, big news yesterday, probably the biggest story in the NFL yesterday. Was the contract signed by Matthew Stafford here. And I have the details, I think, as they're reported. And again, nothing is official yet, I guess. Maybe it just was recently or something, but I think yesterday they were just reporting that Stafford had reached an agreement with the Lions on a new contract extension, not that it had actually been signed yet. But anyway, the deals that I see here are for Matthew Stafford. This is the Detroit Lions quarterback here. He's signing a 3-year, $53 million extension with $41.5 million in guaranteed money. So that's what Matthew Stafford is making. Now, just for a point of comparison, let's look at that and take a look at what Aaron Rodgers had just recently signed. So again, Matthew Stafford, 3 years, $53 million, 41.5 guaranteed. With Aaron Rodgers here, if you remember back in April, this happened right in the midst of the NFL draft. Aaron Rodgers signed a 5-year contract extension worth $110 million and $54 million of it guaranteed, and $35 million of it coming from a signing bonus. Signing bonuses, of course. are guaranteed. So there's a little bit of a comparison. Obviously, Rodgers making more money. He signed a 5-year extension as compared to Stafford's only 3-year. But if you're looking at it on a year-by-year basis, the money per year, it's very similar. Stafford not making quite what Rodgers is making, but you can see that the Lions here can see the writing on the wall, and knowing that Matthew Stafford hasn't been the greatest quarterback in the NFL. He hasn't been, in the caliber of Aaron Rodgers. But they know they have a very good quarterback on their hands, and they, want to lock him up for as long as possible. Have him and Calvin Johnson keeping that combo together for as long as they can. And you can't blame them for doing that. Although, I kind of talked about this as well. Both Rodgers and Stafford had signed these extensions with 2 years left on their deal. I can see where the Packers could do that with Aaron Rodgers entering his 9th season in the NFL. I guess it comes perhaps as a little curious that Stafford would be doing it with 2 years left on his deal, only entering his 5th season in the NFL. You would just think that, maybe they would wait another year yet, and then maybe he would get his deal. That's what I would have assumed, but I don't follow the Detroit Lions closely enough to know how long this thing has been in the works. But, Aaron Rodgers, obviously a more accomplished quarterback than Matthew Stafford. Matthew Stafford, an up-and-coming quarterback, a good young quarterback. You kind of wonder if he was surrounded by a little more talent, would he be even better? The Detroit Lions certainly have their issues on defense, have for several seasons now, while their passing game has been good with him and Calvin Johnson. It's always been something that's kind of done in the Detroit Lions, and their offensive line hasn't exactly always been stellar as well. So, it's hard to see the Lions catching up to the Packers in the pecking order of the NFC North, and heck, they're going to have to catch up to the Minnesota Vikings too after they made the playoffs last year. Vikings and the Packers at the top of the division, Lions and Bears at the bottom. At least that's the way it worked out last year. And it's hard to see that changing, as the Packers keep Aaron Rodgers and Clay Matthews intact, signing them both to extensions this year. It's hard to see them falling back anytime soon, as long as they're healthy. Again, knock on wood here, as long as Rodgers and Matthews are healthy, it's hard to see them falling off. I see here on the live blog, if I kind of go through some of the comments coming in, John on the live blog says, Stafford is good and talented, but he threw, 700 plus passes last year and only had 20 touchdowns? There you go. And how many went to Calvin Johnson, by the way? Meaning how many other touchdowns were divvied up by the entire rest of the receiving core at Stafford's disposal. And the Lions, of course, they got burned by what's his name there from Boise State, who has now been kicked off the team. His name eludes me. I don't know why it is, but who's just gotten trouble after trouble and been arrested and kicked off the Lions, and then he went to the St. Louis Rams and was cut there within no time at all. Titus Young, Ted the Sledge, tells me on the live blog, Titus Young. Yeah, that they haven't been the Lions did themselves no favors by drafting Titus Young, and that's kind of been their issue, right? With the Lions, they've kind of made a couple snafus, mistakes in their drafting, guys who don't pan out, guys who
are taken high in the NFL draft and not exactly, you know, living up to the expectations there. Michael LeSean, their running back there, in 2 years in the NFL, hasn't done much so far, has dealt with his own injury issues. That's not helping the Lions any either. So, John points on the live blog, they also drafted Ryan Broyles, who was injured. They're horrible drafting a wide receivers. Yeah, that's been the Lions' issue, been their problem. Drafting players, not much success in the NFL draft, other than hitting on Calvin Johnson and Matthew Stafford. So doing okay there. Ted the Sledge points out Javid Best too. Yeah, just we could go on and on about the draft picks of the Detroit Lions here. But elsewhere in the news of the Green Bay Packers, I just wanted to touch on before the show's over here the headlines hitting social media this morning here or late last night. Former Packers center Jeff Saturday going to be an analyst at ESPN, not taking long after his retirement to be getting that kind of gig. Wow, it's just amazing how fast things can happen. We sit here and it was just not long ago where they had the NFL's broadcast boot camp for A.J. Hawk took part in it. And, you know, a lot of other former NFL players took part in it as well. And here these guys are trying to, you know, do a little networking and trying to get some experience, into the broadcast industry. And to my knowledge, Jeff Saturday's never taken part in this program. But all of a sudden, he retires, and it's just months, and he's joining ESPN. You know, he's going to become an analyst at the highest level of football that you can go, joining ESPN, whether it's ESPN, Fox, CBS, whatever. It's not like Jeff Saturday has been eased into the industry where he's, working college games first that are maybe a little less high profile than the NFL. He's gonna be covering the NFL right away. I guess I'm assuming here. Nowhere have I heard is he going to be a NFL analyst as opposed to a college football analyst, but I would assume he did. Jeff Saturday going to be on ESPN. That's a good thing. He's always been well spoken in his interviews as a player that I know him from. Obviously, I followed his career much more closely once he became a Packer than I ever did when he was a member of the Colts, and his career as a Packer only lasted one season. But, you know, obviously, well spoken guy. I think he'll do good in that role. I hope he does well. It's always good to see former Packers in the media, somebody you can kind of, as a Packer fan, a little bit relate to. And you know, it's always nice when they shed some insight into their own organization. You can just imagine that Jeff Saturday will be giving his two cents on Aaron Rodgers from time to time, working with him, what it's like working with both Aaron Rodgers and Peyton Manning's Pro Bowl quarterbacks, MVP quarterbacks. You know, it's those kind of things that he'll be, giving his two cents on during his time at ESPN. So kind of excited to see that come to fruition here in July, as we are in now early July, and by the end of the month here, it'll be training camp time, and then it is back to football. It is on nonstop football for, the next 5-6 months. The train won't stop once we get on it here at the end of July. What is the first day of practice? The 26th, I believe, something like that. So we're getting close here. Just over 2 weeks away. So getting very close to the time here where training camp gets started up, and it is football time, and we're getting back on that train. But anyway, it's 9 o'clock here, folks. Thank you so much for joining us here this morning on Railbird Central. Thanks to Chris Burke of AllGreenBayPackers.com for joining me, albeit briefly at the beginning of the show. We'll be back again on Friday with another episode of Rail Bird Central. We'll get another one of the writers at AllGreenBayPackers.com to join us as well. But I leave you today with a song called Feed the Wolf by Conspirator on Psy Fidelity Records. We'll see you later, everyone. Go Pack Go.